Welcome, everybody. It is a BNP Weekly, episode 88. Is it 88, Valdek?
Yes, I think it is. Yes, it is.
I'm really good at numbers.
We're dangerously close to 100.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll still have 12 episodes, so it's all good. Now, it is 22nd of June 2020, and it is take number 3, apparently. No, it's not. Take number 1 today. But before we go to our visitor, my name is Sasa Juvonen. I'm a program manager from the OneDrive SharePoint platform team, and the BNP Weekly is all about what's happening within the Microsoft 365 area within the week. So we're trying to collect all of the Teams blog articles, M365 developer articles, SharePoint articles, on the relevant things on our world, and then community articles as well. But before we go to the articles, we always have a discussion with our visitor, today being AC. But before we go to the AC, Waldeck, who are you?
We do this so linear.
Yes.
Hi, everybody. My name is Waldeck Mastegat. I am head of product at Rancor. And as Vesa said already 3 times, today we have a guest from Florida in the US. Office Dev MVP, Chief Course Artisan, Space Geek, Car Racing Fanatic, Lego Hobbyist, no one else, Mr. Andrew Connell. Hey, AC.
That's a much more fun bio than you normally get when you do like work stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, totally. Like, I did this project, that project, yeah.
Yeah, it's good to join you guys again. How's everybody, how you guys doing?
Doing good.
Drink it.
It's okay.
Life, so.
All things considered.
I'm enjoying this whole this life of you're not allowed to travel kind of a thing. So I'm like, this is nice. No flights coming up. My TripIt account's very empty. It's like, I don't mind.
To be honest, exactly. Like, to be honest, I don't mind. It's like, it allows me to, in a way, I'm being in more places, being in fewer places.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I don't know. It feels like the hecticness just seems to have kind of disappeared a bit. So I feel like I always look for like a silver lining in this. It's nice to be able to have nice long like sections of being able to be productive and not having to stop, go to a conference to present and then or prepare for a conference, then go to a conference to present and then come home. And it's like, all right, where was I? And it's kind of nice to have like the last like 3-4 months. Like I have been off the road since December or since late January. I'm like, that's like 6 months. This is awesome. I'm getting so much done right now. My house has never been cleaner. My yard's never looked better.
and most importantly, on that note, last week you ship, right? You finished your course.
Yep. Yes. Yeah. That is
a milestone, or if not the milestone, right?
My shoulders look a little bit higher. They might look a little bit higher from the weight that's been removed. Right? It took a lot longer than I anticipated. And part of that was because I overscoped it and didn't think too much about the business side and had to pick up a couple like contract type jobs in the middle of it a few times to be like, just to maybe pay the bills and stuff. But so my Mastering the SharePoint Framework course is content complete. I'll say it's done, but there's still a bunch more work I want to do to it, like refreshing stuff. When it takes 2 years to build a course, Microsoft, you guys have shipped a few things. I got to go back and refresh a couple of those videos. So
that's a new one, right?
Yeah. So the first
like you didn't used to do this in the past.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm going to spend I started making a spreadsheet and I've got a little schedule of how many videos I'm going to go through every day or every week and then catalog like what has got to be changed, what should be changed, and what would be nice to be changed. It's probably never going to get changed, but what needs a video record? What can just be notes on the slide or under the notes and stuff like that? So. Yeah.
So related on that one, actually, because your training is really about the SharePoint framework. That's precisely what we wanted to bring you here for and have a discussion on that. What's your take? Your training is now feature complete. Mm-hmm. What's your take on SharePoint framework? Is it a mature enough? Is it what's your kind of feelings around the platform?
It's kind of a mixed bag overall.
Be polite.
I will be kidding. Polite. I'll be polite, but you also know me. Part of my character is to also be honest. So no,
absolutely.
To be completely honest, man, I really do like what you guys have done. I really do like the framework. I love the direction of being client side first. I like the supported stuff that you provide server side for especially around like the Azure AD stuff and the deployment. I everything I really like about it. And I know I talked to someone recently And we're like, well, what more would you really want? What more features would you want? What more bells and whistles? And to be honest, I struggle because I'm not really sure what more I want from a big picture, but I definitely want like extensions. Like we have placeholders. We want more placeholders, stuff like that. So overall, I really like what Microsoft has done. And I like the direction of being able to use the SharePoint framework if I want to extend Microsoft Teams and I want to be able to use those same investments in learning, both in the tech and then also in the capability of hosting to use that in Teams and where we're going with Office add-ins as well. I think the thing to me that is the most, is probably the most frustrating or the biggest want is more on the reliability side. And it's, I tend, and this is the part where I will be gentle, but I'll be honest.
Of course. No. That's why you're here.
The thing that I think gives me the most frustration, and it's not just me, but I feel like I'm echoing what a lot of the developers are seeing, is that I'm concerned about a confidence level in the SharePoint framework going forward. And it's mostly because so many things that have shipped don't feel like they've shipped and then been finished. I feel like we've shipped an MVP or we finished like a V1, but then it hasn't been fully complete. So a great example of this, there's really two good examples of this. One of them is around so many changes that we see coming from, I presume, from the team that is engineering all the UX for the lists infrastructure. And there's events that are supposed to be bubbled up and that let us know when like a view changes or when this changes. And those, a lot of those things break. And when they break, we don't have any kind of insight into, okay, was that a SharePoint framework break or is that a platform break? Is it code break? And then when they go back in and they say they fixed something, there's no real follow-up on what fixed. And so it's really hard to understand what that is. And if I'm a developer building something on top of this platform, it's hard to have confidence in it. The other one too is that goes along with that is around Microsoft Teams, where I mean, if I'm supposed to take stuff as SharePoint framework and be able to use it both in SharePoint framework or SharePoint Online and Microsoft Teams, I expect it to work the same way.
Sure.
And I feel like there's a lot of stuff with Teams, both the web, the desktop, and the mobile client, that when I'm building a SharePoint framework-based solution, it works one way in SharePoint, it works one way in Teams web, one way in Teams desktop, and one way in Teams mobile. And that's the part that I'm not throwing the baby out with the bathwater or cutting my nose off to save my face or trying to find another cliche that works. But
there are rooms for improvement and consistency. Yeah, that would just, be the, probably.
Yeah, it just feels like there's stuff that just could be buttoned up and just be a little bit tighter there to give me more confidence on it. And I overall, it's still, I love the framework. I love what you guys have done. And I love, I think one of the things that I've seen that is probably the biggest challenge, like from one of the nice things about doing a course like this and working on it for 2 years, 2.5 years, and having thousands of customers that have gone through the course, I get lots of feedback from them and see lots of questions that they ask. And I think the overwhelming thing that people still, the majority of the developers don't really see, at least those that are new to the SharePoint framework, is that there's really not all that much that's special. And I mean that as a compliment. It's client-side dev. And you don't need to, they're like, well, I'm trying to do this. And I can't get over SharePoint framework. I'm like, when you go to Google something, stop putting SharePoint in your description. All right. Other thing, you're going to find so many more solutions. If you have a problem with like Node or an NPM thing, I can't figure out this thing. I keep doing a SharePoint, you know, da da da. And I'm trying to do the gulp serve. I'm like, okay, you're thinking, no, you don't do the gulp serve. You're running a task, right? You're using a tool to run a task. Like think about it. And it's, I think that disconnect, it does hurt people and the adoption. But at the same time,
I think it's a good thing, good clarification that we are dropping away the SharePoint isms, right?
Yes.
So it's not a SharePoint specific things what we're doing, which is great because then the skill set is more pro than SharePoint, as long as people would understand that, right?
Yeah.
But then there's also the audience that, right, that like, that for years they were used to doing exactly that, right? Like if you wanted to do things on SharePoint, you have to do it this specific way with this specific tools, and there was no alternative. Whereas, so they're used very much to this mindset, like in everything that they search, include SharePoint in there because you will not find it. Whereas nowadays, that's no longer the case, right?
Right. And you're right, Roland. And that is part of the hard part about this is that we're trying to bring people from they have this baggage mindset and it's not that it's bad. It's just that a lot of it doesn't apply now. And when I talk to my students about it, I try to put it across them going, look, this is actually easier than you're making it out to be. You're trying to make this work in SharePoint. And if you take a step back and don't try to make it work in SharePoint, but think, what is the client side way of doing what you're trying to do? Your life is going to get better. And if you need something specific to SharePoint, like, for example, How do I call a secured service? Well, if it's an Azure AD and you're building something in SharePoint Online, the SharePoint Framework API is going to provide you some tools that makes your life a lot easier. You don't have to worry so much about how to get a token and how to call the graph. A lot of that stuff is simplified. But don't think like, you know, I'm trying to do, I don't know. People always want to try and come up with a SharePoint solution for something. And I find it better when you try to come up with something. Yeah. Try and come up with something that's not SharePoint specific and things go better. Anybody that follows the three of us closely knows that the topic of library components, there are some very different opinions. But it's very much like that.
That is a good example. So can you explain what's the debate related on library components? I don't need to.
What is the value out of it?
Yeah.
So why would you do a library component versus NPM package?
So this is actually a blog post it's in draft form right now on my laptop, along with my other summer wish list. I wish I had these out before we did this call today. But to me, a library component only makes sense in one scenario or two scenarios. And one of them to me is heavily discounted, but I also recognize that people don't agree with me on this. So to me, the only reason that really makes sense to use a library component is if inside the component, you're using a SharePoint Framework API, that's it. That's the only time it really makes sense to use it. Because if you're using a SharePoint Framework component, there's no benefit to using the alternative is to just create an NPM package, create a bundle, and then stick that somewhere. Yep. Right. And that's the other reason why you would want to choose library components, because the deployment model is already solved for you. Whereas if you do an NPM package, you've got to put a JavaScript file somewhere in a CDN somewhere or wherever. Yep. To me, I discount that because I'm like, look, if that's actually a big issue to you, of all the other stuff you're doing, of putting a file somewhere that you can get to, I'm like, seriously, how long have you been a web developer? So I don't buy that as an option. I understand people like, oh, you don't understand my scenario. My scenario is unique. I'm like, nobody is unique in this world. There's a bunch of people that are all, we've all been through the same damn thing.
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah. So to me,
I always go with like an NPM package, because unless I have to have a SharePoint API, because if it's a SharePoint API, there's no sense in putting an NPM package. I'm not gonna be able to test the thing anyway. So, and look, without doing like a ridiculous amount of mocking. So I'm like, all right, I might as well just do it in a library component and just be done with it, because I've already handcuffed myself. There's ways around it, but to me, I've yet to come across a scenario where someone's like, yeah, I have to use the library component. I'm like, yeah, have you done it the other way?
I think even internally, so library components was something that we introduced as part of 1.6, something like that.
And
it was one of our top requests in user voice. And even internally, there was people who were saying, well, why do they need this?
Yeah.
We use it internally because of the mono repo setup, mm-hmm. which we have, which is super massive and it's super complex and all of that stuff. And it actually helps on abstracting certain reusable components and all of that, which, mm-hmm. okay, fair point. But then basically certain clever people noticed that, hey, you have a library component type called library. We want it as well. Mm-hmm. You said that SharePoint Framework tooling is available for me as well. I want it as well. And then it grew to be the number one user voice engine. Well, number three or whatever, but still pretty high.
Well, so the interesting case for that I find is the fact that libraries, what you get for free is that it only loads and runs once on a page. So imagine that you have three web parts that you put on a page. It will be loaded and it will run only once on a page. If you want to, sure, you can achieve the same on NPM package, but then you would need to build all of that by yourself, whereas here you get it for free, right? It's already there.
No, I don't think, but that's not, I don't, is that really true though? Because when you do, if I have three web parts, if I build an NPM package and I put that, and I host that in some CDN, if I build three separate web parts with three separate SharePoint Framework solutions, like projects, three different SPPKGs, and they all reference the same bundle from from a using in the config file pointing to the externals, then the SharePoint module or the module loader on that the SharePoint framework employs, it's always going to pull that down. Once it's pulled down one time, it's not going to keep pulling it down on the same page. It's already been pulled down once. So once it's pulled down the first time, you've got it as cached. Similar, exact same way how the SharePoint framework is pulling the stuff down as a library component, because you're just pulling something from some remote. When I look at the manifest, it's, it ends up being this in the net result. So, and correct me if I'm wrong about that, because like when I've looked at the manifest that's generated on both options, I don't see a difference aside from one is pulling from locally inside of SharePoint Online, where the other one is pulling from some external.
Totally. Right. So I guess the difference there is that the code will run only once. Right. Sure. Like whether it will pull the file down or not. And there's also like the whole thing with, do you have proxy? Do you allow the, like the server where the file is being, does it allow does it have all the cache optimized on it? But then eventually like the code is in and then it will run. It will run at least once for each web part. And then if you want to have, let's say, singleton of something on a page, where then you need to implement that by yourself. Basically, that is the notion of like having service in SPFX. Yeah. Like you have only one instance of a thing on a page, on every page.
Yeah, like a service scope using a service scope option. Yeah, I mean, that's one feature that is not, it does not get much. Most people don't seem to understand that that's available.
Yeah,
it's available in like the blog post, but you don't find it inside the docs, which maybe that's a fault of me too. So
maybe we should not stress that gap. Hey,
it's very much an edge case, right? It's not default thing for, hey, I want to have this reusable thing. Your first choice is always this. No, like your first choice, it's exactly as you said. You should go to NPM because that is what the world does. If you happen to have this specific case where you need to have one and not less, no more of something on a page, libraries might be an easier way around it. But that is just like this very specific case, right?
Yeah, and you're right. And then the other, I mean, the other thing to it as well that's also beneficial of using a library component is that you're using the SharePoint framework build toolchain. Yes. And if I decide to go build my own NPM package, you got to stand that up. I mean, there's tons and tons of ways you can go through and stand this up, but there's like in my course, I showed both options. I showed it to a library component, then I showed it an NPM package. But then I find that the best way to get people, the SharePoint developers, to understand that the NPM package is a good option is I stand up the NPM package and the build toolchain as I model it, it's inspired by the SharePoint framework. So like I'm using a very similar Webpack setup. I'm using a very similar, like I'm using an NPM script instead of using a gulp task. It's just not necessary for what I'm showing you. It's not necessary. I'm not saying the SharePoint framework was unnecessary to use it, but if you can model it the same way, then I think things do get simplified a bit.
Yeah.
But I mean, look, cards on the table, you've got two options and people can choose either one they want. And that's one of the nice things that I can choose to say, I don't like library components. I'm only going to use NPM packages. Whereas someone else can say, no, I prefer library components. I'm like, great, go for it. I mean, it doesn't.
Yeah, there's no limitations from that perspective. Now, moving along from the library component, so we don't spend the whole session.
This is not the call exclusively about library components, no?
Exactly. Where's that call?
That is the next call.
When do I call into that one?
What about other areas of SharePoint framework and let's say modern teams, modern development and modern SharePoint experiences? What's your feedback through you, AC, related on the experiences? Any other kind of pointers? Obviously, sure, the consistency. Polishing here and there, we get that. And absolutely, we need to get invest that time on there. Mm-hmm. But other than that, what are the other things which comes in mind, or any general feedback?
General feedback. Well, so
where do I start?
Is this the compliment section, or is this the I had the grievances the error section? I think the one thing that I think that as many times as Microsoft does try to clarify it, and I think the parts that does get a little confusing, is the story around the UX components. Yeah. I think it's between going from Office UI Fabric. The JavaScript edition, then the Core edition, then the React edition. Now we're going to Fluent edition, and then we're going to Stardust. Next, and then Stardust.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah.
I mean, I get. I mean, I like I like the inspiration or the goal of bringing everything together. What kind of scares me a little bit is the fact that we have a Fluent package that's got a name called North Star. And it's like, oh my God, please don't try and do everything. Please don't try and do everything. Please don't try and do everything. But regardless, I mean, it's one of the things that is something that that all of us do still struggle with. And part of it's because we're in this, I was going to say,
before we go there, can we explain the recommendations and what it is? Because obviously, yeah, those who are not super familiar, they might not be following up on whatever we're referring to. So sure. By default, we've been saying use Office UI Fabric, mm-hmm, as the UX layer for your SPFX components. But Office UI Fabric is now gone.
Okay, exactly. I spent a good amount of time the last 2 weeks making sure that I understood this because I updated the docs on this as well. And this is not Andrew saying this. This is Andrew repeating what the Fluent guys and the Microsoft guys said.
Yep.
Or the SharePoint guys. So just to cut to the chase, the TLDR is the SharePoint team says use the Office UI Fabric React components, period. Use those today. So what you get in a SharePoint framework project, use that same package. Don't flip things over to use Fluent. If under the covers they do that, don't screw with it. Don't mess with it. Just leave it as is. Use what's provided to you. What the Fluent team has done is they've renamed that package. If you look at the NPM package, they've renamed that package to @FluentUI/React. That's what the Office UI Fabric React components are. And if you go to the Office UI Fabric like documentation, whatever, it all redirects over to Fluent.
Yep.
But the only thing that Fluent UI slash React package is, it's simply exporting the objects from the Office UI Fabric React package. That's verbatim from the Fluent team. So in other words, for you SharePoint developers that are out there, remember how back in like 1.8 and 1.9, we had stuff get refactored out of the web part base package over for property pane stuff and moved into the property pane package. And all that did was just export things back and forth. That's where we are right now with Fluent. Okay.
Yeah.
So keep using the Office UI Fabric. Keep an eye on Fluent UI. We don't have a timeline. We just know what their inspiration is. They did have a fact message that was posted, and we did also update the Office UI Fabric docs inside the SharePoint framework docs.
Yeah.
And if you go to that page in the docs, which I'll grab that and throw a link to it in the show notes for you guys. That points to a fact, a frequently asked question that was posted by the Fluent guys in the last week, that we reference as well. So that's where we are today.
Yeah. And the situation might evolve on autumn, but one step at a time. So I think autumn. But I think there's this classic, let's say, I think both of you do agree on this one. So this, the one, how would I put it? One kind of a characteristics of doing web stack development is that people always want to use the latest and greatest. Why isn't this, this particular version actually available? It was released last week. Why can't I use it in my thingy? Which is like, but why? And this is one of those areas where we need to...
doesn't matter, because I want to.
Yes, exactly. And this is one of those areas where we need to be, let's say, be patient, related on on what's coming and when is it actually available. So,
I guess for big part, that's on us. And on us, as I say, like us three and then PMP group to basically offer the guidance and tell everybody, like people ask that because they do not know where they are. So they're in doubt. And I think it's our job to clarify that because the better we do it, then the fewer questions like, okay, we are here. Things have been announced, but they are not ready yet to be used in context of that.
And one of the things where people need to be super careful is that before you start using any of the new components, really double check the status and licenses and all of that. Because obviously, at the same time, when we call out that we need to explicitly give the guidance and when it's actually usable, there's a lot of interests from, let's say, I'm not referring to Fluent, but there are other components library makers who would love you to use their stuff. Mm-hmm. Is it actually usable? That's a separate discussion, but they would love you to use the stuff because then they get usage. And there's always this kind of an interesting balance of, you were saying that it's ready, but I found these and these issues. Well, so those are issues which we knew, but blah, blah, blah. So what is actually usable and what's not usable might be, and what is the message and is it actually usable might be two different things.
So. Well, but I mean, like, these are complexities that I think we as PNP should abstract away from community. Everybody should not be tasked with doing their own research into all these different libraries issued by Microsoft. Because, like, one, like, why redo the same work all over again, come to the different conclusions, and have the risk that somebody might find something and they miss something. So I think that we should offer a single channel for all these different questions. And I think we're doing that to a part. Can we improve? Absolutely.
I think we can improve there. We'll kind of go through the article during the article. So let's actually do that, because from a timing perspective, last time with John, we talked, took 1 hour and 20 minutes. So we're trying to get this one under the hour.
We're trying to beat a record here, AC. So stick around for more.
So
nobody accused me of being concise.
Let's start with two official docs from Microsoft, and then we go to the Office UI Fabric usage guidance, which AZ has updated as well. So a few updates. There wasn't too much blog posts recently within the past 2 weeks. There are certain reasons on it, which we don't need to dive into this discussion, but you will see the normal cycles to actually start moving this week. By the way, as an example, CSAM.NET Standard is scheduled to go out this week.
Whoa!
You heard this here first. So always use Graph. But if Graph API is not available, you can fall back on CSAM and CSAM.NET Standard.
Use Graph. If you still can't use it, option three, well, only then you want CSAM.
Yeah.
People have been harping on this for so long. Now that it's going to be available this week, we better see those downloads really kick in, because if it does, if it comes out and the downloads aren't there, it's like, what the heck? You guys were asking for something and they did it and they didn't. Now you're not using it. Are you kidding me?
Maybe in meanwhile, they've built their own. I don't know.
Technically, that is actually unfortunately possible, but let's not go to technical details related on this one. So you heard it from here first. So this week, you're seeing this on Tuesday. It might already be out, but there's going to be a new version of Microsoft SharePoint Online CSAM, which includes and contains also .NET Standard version of CSAM. So
it will be the same package, just additional DLL inside the package, correct?
So when you're using that in Visual Studio or in an environment which is targeted for .NET Core or .NET Standard, those assemblies will be reusable.
Sweet.
And that's a big win. Finally, the reason why it's, by the way, a big win, now I'm derailing, it is by far the number one user voice request, what we've been having in here. So.
I can totally imagine why, right? It's been around for a while, and like the world has moved towards that. And you need this. You need this to run in containers, on functions. Yep. There's so many places for which you need this. It's prerequisite, right? It's no longer an option. It's not F5. It works on your box, and you deploy it somewhere, and then what, right?
Yep.
So,
Absolutely. Was a quick teaser on what's coming this week. Now, unless there's a super last minute, like, oh my God, and then it moves.
Never happened.
But, yes.
Did you guys test it on a Mac?
On the actual articles.
Next link.
Yes. So Leperon Microsoft Graph Toolkit. There's a new season coming on this one. And the day 9 is Microsoft Graph Toolkit for SharePoint Provider, written by Hugo Bernier, by the way, but published by the Microsoft 365 team, and really around the fact that how do you use the Graph Toolkit SharePoint Provider to get access on the Microsoft Graph things. And I think we have a proper step-by-step guidance and then usage of the components in here. And the Graph Toolkit, absolutely brilliant stuff, helping on building super easily, for example, your daily calendar this case. So really great stuff. And more of this stuff coming as an article from MVPs. Now, this one is basically Microsoft Graph Toolkit adds presence templating for the logging component, a React Wrapper preview, and more. So basically improved experience, improved layouting related on that presence information. I think Waldeck, because we're, and actually AC, of course, you're the old school SharePoint UX developer as well, already combining the content management server and SharePoint 2003 and making stuff happen.
And GeOffice UI Fabric.
And one of the most requested thing at the time was basically, how do I do presence with Skype?
Link goes all the way back to Link, right? Yeah. I mean, back then we had what? ActiveX?
ActiveX components, which are embedded on the page.
Well, yeah, that worked only in IE.
Yes, it did. That was pretty horrible. Office UI Fabric, and this is the component, article, which AC updated pretty, well, like 2 hours ago. We updated the docs, and this one is the section related on the changes in here as well.
You're in the part that you've highlighted here. When I pulled the link up earlier and posted it in the little chat for you guys to put in the show notes, I already saw, like, in that third paragraph, there's a typo in there. So I've already got it, like, highlighted on my machine. So I'm like, there will be a PR going.
Oh, you mean that one?
Yeah.
That doesn't look.
No pointing out though, but error.
Trust me, I found it, and I just created a new branch on my machine. Don't worry, it's gonna get fixed.
Oh, you mean this one?
Yeah,
that you one. Identify yeah, the that problem, one. And then you fix it.
Man, it is so referencing an NPM package in Markdown and bolding it. It's so crazy how hard that is. It's ridiculous. It's tough too. And it, yeah, anyway, but it'll get, yeah, I know. Thanks. Is it that one? Yeah. Oh, yes. There it is. Yeah, okay. Yeah, got
this
it.
One. AC did a mistake. Okay. AC did a mess. No.
We are, and that is a good, nice highlight though, because we are in the middle of doing a huge refresh on our, what is it? Oh, we are doing a huge refresh on all the SharePoint framework docs now. So, like, today we refreshed everything from in the SharePoint framework section all the way down to library components. So extensions, library components, web parts, getting started, overview, all that stuff was refreshed in the last.
Everything is updated in June, which is
and
great.
And then as a refresh, do you mean reorganize or update the contents?
So it was the content has all been it. There's no reorganization. It's all just making sure that everything is correct. Everything is current. There's no typos. We had a lot of formatting issues, spelling issues, but everything is just getting cleaned up and current. So you know that it's like, does this still work? Does this still apply? So, like, for example, if you scroll down on this page, you'll see a section where it even calls that big note section right there. It talks about, you know, different versions and stuff like that. And it's more current for present day. But if people are still going farther back, I just tried to make things a little bit easier to understand. So,
Absolutely.
Cool. Nice. Yeah.
Good stuff. And this one was the FAQ, which you actually referenced, Fabric Stardust Defined UI. And this 10 days ago updated, so quite new stuff, providing some guidance in here. They will say, what was it in this one, where they basically mentioned that there might be...
Yes.
If you go down, I thought it was
There it is. At the top where it says at Fluent React that you see on the screen right now, it's the second to last bullet. Or the second and third to last bullets.
Yeah. So this is obviously something which we discussed before the recording, but I think it's fine to mention during the recording as well. So obviously, we need to be more specific on what this actually means in practice for the enterprise customers, because in the system integration world, or let's say a consultant world, consultant builds something for customers, it has to remain there and not suddenly get broken out of blue because the consultant is no longer available. So we'll definitely get more guidance and clarifications on these things, what it means in practice. Because as an example, SharePoint Framework is backward compatible. So you can still today use SharePoint Framework version 1.0 and it will work. We are guaranteed that it works. So that the old web parts do not get broken.
This is an open question to the team about this, to the Fluent guys, which is basically, does that mean if I build something today and I roll it out and I don't touch it, is there a chance that without touching anything, stuff is going to just break in the next up to two times over the next year? And it's unclear. I mean, I get it. If you roll out some breaking changes in a new major version, that's fine. I mean, I'm not saying you guys aren't entitled to make changes, but it's more that are those changes what's going to be deployed and my project is going to be relying on those things on SPO and without making a change, you broke my stuff? Or is it like SharePoint Framework where I reference a specific version and rather if 1.11 comes out and it does a breaking change, it's not going to affect my 1.8 component.
Which is most likely the case, but let's get the clarity on that one. So
exactly.
Super important.
Yeah.
Now, on other articles, something new which came out actually last week as well, related on under the SharePoint. But this is absolutely a big focus area for us as well. So under the SharePoint development, built for Microsoft Teams. So there's a article series which we basically Waldeck was the author of these things, and really concentrating on the fact that when you're building stuff to Teams, the considerations and references and areas to figure out and make a decision, so on, like the settings and configurations related on your personal application, good example, or the styles, which you can say that the title of the web part is not rendering it off as UI fabric styling, so it's not using the right font. So how do you fix that, or the considerations related on that? So all of that is basically being called out, which is helping people to then build SharePoint framework solutions for Microsoft Teams. So really cool stuff as well. Now, advancing Microsoft Teams on Azure operating at pandemic scale. So this is actually Microsoft one. This one is pretty interesting from Mark Rishinov's. Basically, how did we deal with the massive jump on the demand in the cloud? Because obviously, everything in Microsoft 365 is being built on top of Microsoft Azure. And then how did we scale up the things during this last month? Because, growth has been just out of this world. So really cool stuff, absolutely. And then obviously that based on the learnings and based on the things we're doing, also architectural changes, for example, in SharePoint Online and speeding up the performance and all of that stuff. So really, really cool stuff.
That's cool.
Moving on, community articles. This came out from Bartman earlier today, using Microsoft Research Graph, Microsoft Search API preview to query SharePoint content. So basically using the Microsoft Graph and then hit the SharePoint content using those things, using the Graph client.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, this actually gets slightly interesting. But anyway, using the Microsoft Search APIs with the Graph from SharePoint framework. That's basically what's happening in here.
Yeah.
And this one is from Joel Rodriguez from Storm Technologies, and merge PDF files from SharePoint using Azure function. So really cool stuff as well. So basically, again, pretty much I didn't have a look on this one super detailed, but I think we are using Microsoft Graph. No, we're using PDF document as an object. Anyway, so there's multiple ways of doing these things. And also you don't have to save local versions. So there's a good example from Joel. Now, this one was that there was an update coming from PMP CLI 2.11, right? Came out.
Correct. Well, that is another preview of 2.11 with improved creation of teams, improved upgrade of SPFX project, and new sample script, which is about if you have a number of images in a document library, how you can insert them into a Word document. And that is also including the help from CLI to get these images out and then in the doc. So
Cool. And this one, making SPFX web parts searchable, lesson learned from Thomas Daly. So how do we expose the metadata? What are the properties which should be indexed by the search? Good stuff as well. I think we did mention this in the docs, but it's kind of a one mention here and there. And it's good that...
I thought we had a doc on that. I recall either I wrote it because I recall, yeah.
Yeah, but it's one of those things where there's so many docs, there's so many things that it's good that people are clarifying things as well. So, it is. You can read the full article on the guidance. So anyway, this is from Nandeep. face detection, so embed facial recognition on the SharePoint. So pretty cool stuff, actually. Again, combining Azure machine learning and intelligence together with SharePoint and implementing stuff. So really cool stuff from that perspective. And how to do stuff in cognitive services, how things work, face API and all of that. So really, really cool stuff. This is from Sergey Sergeyev. SharePoint framework FastServe now supports library components. So he basically has built this FastServe process, which will speed up the gulp, the bundling and packages and all of that stuff in SharePoint. And now it supports library services as well. So basically you call SPFX FastServe. There we go.
And you're good to go.
And then you're good to go. And it's much faster than the normal one, but it's pretty cool.
So he's done a lot of really cool stuff around performance on, especially the build tool chain. That, I mean, it's cool stuff. That'd be great to see it kind of baked into the underlying dev tool chain. But it's stuff that, I mean, it definitely is. It's definitely more on the 400 level if people want to dive in and take a look at it.
Yeah, absolutely. And then this one from Gautam Seth, provisioning Azure AD users and assign them licenses using BMP tenant templates. So this is good notice from Gautam as well. That, hey, I wasn't aware, but basically PMP tenant templates do support actually provisioning of users as well, which is pretty cool. So you can do automation across the tenant for your test environment. So that's pretty cool stuff. Configure your Azure AD application with Integration Assistant by Waldeck. You want to actually do a quick brief?
Yeah, sure. So there was a new thing I noticed in AAD where there is new option available that allows you to check if the AAD app that you registered, if that's set up correctly for a scenario you want to use it for. So if you build a web app, you need different things than, for example, when you build mobile app or desktop app, daemon thing, right? So there are different ways to use AAD app, and there is now an option available in Portal that tells you that allows you to check what kind of app you want to build. And then based on that, checks, do you have everything in place? Like you can see there, like I have three things correctly, but there are two things that require attention. So all of that is now they're available out of the box, helping you to get your AAD apps in place. Because auth is the very first thing you have to do before you can even do anything. And it's often the thing that devs struggle with the most, right? So that simplifies this a lot.
It's a great investment area for sure, providing guidance directly in there on that location. So this one is from Robert Winter, Twitch stream. He's actually Twitch streaming, doing SharePoint framework development. So working with Property Bane in SharePoint framework backparts. And these are pretty long, but it's actually pretty cool to get a detailed description on how things work. And not necessarily in the 400, 500 level, which is great, but rather you're learning the basics and getting started on doing development.
Yeah, he's doing this regularly too. So if people are interested in Dubbin, he does it on Thursdays. I think it's like 2 o'clock Eastern time, but it's ballpark. He does it. He does it now weekly. He's doing a really good job.
Yep, pretty great stuff. And then here from Paolo, MPS's Tech Bytes. Our Italian friend, talking about the Yo Teams and how to get started on that one, and what are the areas? Oh, well. How to get started on building stuff using your team. So we, by the way, have a great video series coming up on this one this week. So there's 8 videos on doing using your teams to build different kind of things. So just making sure that we have the baseline getting started on building a bot, building a web tab, or building a tab which is then exposed in SharePoint, because that's a feature as well. So. From Joanna Klein, site sensitivity and documents within. So basically talking about site sensitivity and labels and security and how do these actually impact and then on the Microsoft 365. Super important things as well to understand what's there out of the box, because there's a lot of demand for this kind of control and governance from a company's perspective. So. And these were basically the NuGet packages related on and comments related on CSAM. So let's get back on the discussion. We need to close up quite soon because we're running out of time as well. But a few things from my side. What's going to happen this week? Big things. We're going to hopefully release the CSAM.NET NuGet. Now that you heard from here first, finally. It looks really positive. So this is going to happen 99.99% certainly. So it's just a matter of writing the blog post and pushing stuff out. And then we kind of released the new video series related on your teams, where we have 8 different MVPs. Well, 1 Microsoft employee, Bob German, and 7 different MVPs actually explaining how to get started on your teams. We're going to talk about SharePoint StarterKit v2 release. So there's going to be a blog post related on that one. What else is happening? What's on your side?
I'm working on SharePoint framework docs.
I mean, and you also have the update to the course, right?
Oh, no, that's not coming for a while. I'm waiting to see, update my course. I want to see what 1.11, SharePoint framework 1.11, and what changes you have there, because I know that there's been talk brewing about renaming the SharePoint framework and about other changes and stuff. I'm waiting to see what Microsoft does before I do a bunch of re-recording. So anyway, I'm that'll come later. But yeah, I'm working on a similar to how that Leeds Teams app that you that Waldeck that you created using SharePoint framework. I'm working on something similar to that. That is kind of like a reference sample, kind of like something that developers may want to even install in their own tenant to be able to use. That's going to expose if you're a SharePoint developer, if you're a Teams developer, it may be something you'd be interested in. So, but cool. That's coming like in the next couple weeks ish.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
And actually, to be honest, Waldeck is working on something similar as well, right? Overlapping with your thingy, but
different idea.
Slightly different perspective.
Also, I don't know about your thingy, but my thingy.
can you explain what it is?
Am I allowed to?
Yes. Yeah, of course you are. Why would I have to ask? Come on.
I don't know, right? Maybe they're just like curveball and just like will he?
No. Yeah, so obviously, what are we building? Reference samples. So Teams development is such a big focus topic for us. So then obviously we're working together with AC and Waldeck on these areas and the guidance. And that's good to see that the new updated guidance on the documentation as well. And having a reference samples, super important because those help then people to explain the stories and why would you do X and Y and Z.
Yeah, so the thing I'm working on, you could think of it as a starter kit meets Teams.
Oh, cool.
And to be more specific, like if you look at Teams, like Teams is all about collaboration and teamwork. But the one thing that isn't there is the me experience. Like you're starting, imagine there was a starting page for you to see, to have a single place to see your upcoming meetings, recent files, and so everything more around you as opposed to around your teams. So basically, we're working now on a sample, a personal app that you would be able to pin that and then have a single overview of this is my area, my stuff, my place to start the day.
My email, my calendar, because all of these functionalities are actually implemented already in the starter kit. So we can basically then resurface the functionalities together.
So it's like a dashboard.
Yes.
Exactly.
Oh, yes. Okay, I was making sure that
overlapping. No, you're not overlapping.
Yeah, so mine's more like, think of it more like a portal for SharePoint and Teams developer resources, places to learn, where's all PMP stuff, because we're like, so it's kind of like something, it's similar to that.
Yep.
Nice.
But again, we need those reference samples, we need those examples to be available, which people can then surface and use and learn from. So,
exactly. And then in the end, ability for them to find all of that, right? So that is probably,
Yes.
Yep.
Exactly.
Sweet. I'm curious.
Me too. I got to finish it.
Ship it.
Yeah. Anyway, now it has been promised that it's coming. There we go. We're working on together on this stuff, definitely. So, but anyway, thanks for this one. Thank you, AC, for being a visitor, updating on the status of SharePoint framework from your side and the discussion on this one, and also the gaps which we need to address. To be honest, I think one of the key points in the community calls and everything is that people keep on demanding and keeping up honest, because we are building SharePoint framework for the developers and for you, the people who are watching and listening to this thing, and basically to be able to make it successful, we need to address those gaps and keep on improving that. So it's good to have people who are giving us constructive feedback. So
Well, and people just need to make sure they understand too that it's not when people are doing this too, that doesn't mean we're always complaining. I mean, it is like, I'm glad that I had the opportunity to actually talk about, you know, what's good. There's a lot of stuff that's good and I do like it. And just because you hear people saying, well, I want this and I want this, it's like, no, you guys are doing a good job. And the SharePoint framework is a very good platform. It's just stuff like, you know, where do you want to do next? Where do you want to build next? And that's just the kind of the attitude that everybody has, is looking forward. How can we make things better than they already are today?
Yep.
And that's just the spirit of where this kind of feedback comes from.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And we need to, and that's constructive feedback. And it's really good feedback. So we know where we are investing in the future as well. Yep. Cool.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Anytime.
Anytime. We'll catch you back in a year or so. So latest.
Anytime, just not for 12 months.
Okay.
You have to have your vaccine before I come back. How's that?
that's good. Cool. But thanks everybody who's listening and or watching, whatever is your chosen way of actually consuming the show. And please keep the feedback coming. Please use the hashtag BNB Weekly if you want your articles to be mentioned and covered in the show. And we'll keep on releasing a next one within a week. So we'll see who's the visitor in there. Thank you. We'll be in touch. Cheers.
Thank you, everybody. Bye.
Bye.